I must move on to our science and technology interview. You're probably aware, particularly if you have a friend or family member who's battled cancer or is fighting cancer, that today is World Cancer Day. And we want to talk about cancer treatment today. You know, the concept of the miracle cure for cancer is something we've heard about scientists working towards for decades. But the reality is we now know there are so many different forms of cancer that there's no such thing as a single cure. In all likelihood, that is a pipe dream. There's so many different causes for one. It doesn't mean that efforts to treat it are stopping. It just means that efforts need to be a little bit more specialized in how they're focusing. What is never in question is we need to find ways of treating it which have fewer horrible side effects than the current options offer, and ways that are really going to work for the particular form of cancer which a patient is battling. And that is increasingly where the focus is shifting, to how cancer treatment can be tailored specifically to the individual patient and their version of the disease. And I was really interested to come across an article about this concept of personalized medicine in cancer on UCT's website recently. And I've invited one of the co-authors of that piece into studio today. It's a very warm welcome to Professor Stefan Bott, who's the South African Research Chair in Cancer Biotechnology, a professor at UCT's Institute for Infectious Disease and Molecular Medicine. Lovely to have you with us, Stefan. Welcome.
Thank you for this kind invitation. I'm very keen to have this discussion today.
Well, we're so glad you could make time to be here. You know, in order to have a chance of curing a disease, Stefan, we have to understand what's causing it. Are we closer to understanding properly what makes cells start multiplying abnormally and grow into tumors?
I think worldwide, scientists are just working on understanding cause of disease.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if you would like to understand the change between normal and diseased, it's like looking for a recipe for baking a cake, because on first hand you would need to have the information. This is the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
You would use the recipe to choose the ingredients to generate some kind of intermediate products. This would be the glazing, the batter, mm-hmm. the cream, and finally you would assemble everything to generate the different cakes. So a cell has genetic information. This is the recipe for a living cell.
Mm-hmm.
In scientific terms, people would be talking about genome, the DNA, and the genes, which would be the recipe, the narrative of the recipe, and the single words of the recipe.
Okay.
So now this information is translated into an intermediate product. So the scientists would be talking about RNA or transcriptome, and then this would be translated into protein, and the protein are the basic bricks of life. So they are doing the job. So the assembly of the different proteins would be the cake. Scientists worldwide are working on all these three levels: on the recipe, on the intermediate product, and on the cake. So they are looking for the genome, information coming from the genome. They are looking for the transcriptome, information coming from the RNA, and finally also information coming from the protein. But if you think about the information in a healthy cell in comparison to a diseased cell, the number of words which are reflecting the recipe would be in the range of 10,000 of words. So these would be translating into 10,000 of intermediate products, and they would be representing 10,000 of proteins. So development in science nowadays is at a stage where technologies are available to understand these 10,000 or monitor these 10,000 events on all these three levels, meaning that as soon as there is a difference between normal and diseased, you can capture it. The question nowadays would be, how would you interpret these data? Mm. What types of tools would you need in hand to really pinpoint unique characteristics of a disease cells in of a disease cell in comparison to a normal cell. And that's where bioinformatics comes in. Mm-hmm. You might have heard about big data management, because as soon as there is 10,000 of information coming from different level, it's trillions of combinations. So based on that, science gets more and more precise and does more and more understand what's going on. And in consequence, this means the more people would be learning about the difference between normal and diseased, the better they could understand the, let's say, optimized ways of treatment. And that's where nowadays kicks in, because nowadays most of the treatments are standard treatments. And in most of the cases, or in some of the cases, there is not a proper match between the type of treatment and the type of patient. So the initial idea of precision medicine was, can we identify the patients best responding to treatment? Currently, we are establishing methods in South Africa that would allow to follow this idea. Currently, this is based on which patient would be best responding to, let's say, chemotherapy. This would mean samples from the patients would be checked for reactivity against a certain chemotherapeutic agent, and then you would understand whether they would be responsive to these specific treatments. Future will be immunotherapy, and that's the main topic of the contribution you've read.
Okay, so I mean, it might sound, when you hear that description of the tens of thousands of building blocks you're looking at, it might sound like looking for a needle in a haystack. But as you say, as our data access gets improved, there are more people looking with higher resolution magnifying glasses, if I can put it that way. So if you're able to more specifically match the precise medication that is going to work on the precise kind of cancer a particular patient has, and also take into consideration all the other genetic factors that tell you this is more likely to work than another treatment. It obviously, the one thing, it avoids unnecessary treatment that, yes, was never going to work in the first place. That comes with a cost association. Mm-hmm. The big question, though, is what about the cost of the testing to identify that in the first place? Because we all know genetic testing is a pricey business. Talk to us a little bit about the cost of getting to the point where you know enough about the patient to make that perfect match.
I think it's still quite, it will still take quite a while, mm-hmm, to get to this point, because I was talking simple, yeah, let's say having easy systems in place that would allow to understand sensitivity of patients to certain drugs, but precision medicine as a whole is trying to carve from the information from all these three different layers. Mm-hmm. So this would mean that at the end of the day, you would be able to correlate profiles of patients to responses to treatment. And depending on the nature of these profiles, you would this would allow to better predict treatment. For now, this sounds quite vague. And that's why in our group, we are going a different route, because once you have this information, you can look for differences not in a given cell or for a certain disease. You can start looking for markers that would allow to differentiate the diseased cell from a normal cell, and these markers should be displayed on the surface. So as soon as you have a tool in hands that would allow you to specifically bind to these markers, you have a diagnostic tool in hands, and then you can use this for diagnostic purposes. The more you would know about, let's say, the future types of diagnosis and the future types of products related to this diagnosis, the better you would be able to estimate the costs needed in average to cover, let's say, 100% of a patient population and allow to predict best outcome. All of that is on its way in the rest of the world or in the more developed countries. Even in massive investment into these activities will still need some time to get this into reality. So we need to be more basic. We need to really focus on the types of things that we could drive in such an environment, and that's where our work is kicking in.
Stefan, I mean, you're part of a multidisciplinary team, a huge number of really, really brilliant minds looking at this in your field work at UCT's Medical Biotechnology and Immunotherapy Research Unit. How confident do you feel as we chat today on World Cancer Day? Mm-hmm. Is this something that has the potential to be a game changer, widely available, widely in use within a matter of years? Or are we still decades away for this being commonplace in our treatment of cancer?
Difficult question. Let me say, I'm trying to be as pragmatic as possible. So for now, it's nothing more but me having decided to move to South Africa and taking care for students. So these students need to learn techniques which are easily available. And for now, for instance, we have first students finishing their thesis, and one of these students is describing a method on South African triple-negative breast cancer patients, mm-hmm. That is allowing us to validate the ligands, the proteins we are generating for specific binding to cancer cells. So what we are doing is to use this method and use the biotech methods we have to generate these types of diagnostic tools to just confirm the expression of these targets on the breast cancer patient tissue sections. As soon as we can show a difference in binding to the disease cells versus the normal cell, we have a discriminating factor which can be shown on tissue material of African patients. And these types of information are currently not very well available. So mm-hmm. you need to start somewhere, and that's where a major part of our current work is going to. So we are developing these tools, and we are very confident that just by looking for what we see on patient samples, that we can, once we can identify the best targets, we can further improve the diagnostic tools and turn the diagnostic tools into therapeutic tools.
It might sound like the stuff of science fiction, but it's happening. The research is going on right here in Cape Town at the University of Cape Town. You've been listening to Professor Stefan Bart, who is South African Research Chair in Cancer Biotechnology and a professor at UCT's Institute for Infectious Disease and Molecular Medicine. If you're interested in reading the full article, I'll post it during the 2 o'clock news on our Twitter feed at Cape Talk. Lovely to have you with us today, Stefan. Thank you so much for coming in.